Appreciate you being here today. Thank you for coming on this Resurrection Sunday morning, April the 5th, 2026. Today we begin a new lesson, lesson number 10. We've been in this series from the book of John. It's entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. In the Beginning Was the Word. And this series of lessons from the book of John, man, it's been a great, tremendous lesson series. But today, I want us to look at the one that's entitled Preparation and Departure. Now, we've broken this lesson down into two parts, okay? We're going to do another part a little later. We're going to cover chapters 15, 16, and 17, I think it is. We'll cover that in part two. And this particular lesson, I'll not get it finished today. It's just a norm, all right? But I want you to see some things with this today. Preparation and delivery. Now, our theme verses today are from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And here's what the Bible said. Jesus spoke to his disciples there, and he said, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Amen. Now I want to ask you this question today. What motivates you? Let me turn my phone off here. I notice it's beeping here, okay? What motivates you to do what you do for Christ today? What motivates me to do what I do for Christ? You know what? It's got to be the love of God. This living cross thing, man, it just, I don't like playing the bad guys, okay? I don't like playing the bad guy. But my goal was to show folks how much these people hated the Lord Jesus. And how they despised him. And yet how that all those things came together in God's plan for Christ to die for you and for me, to make the way possible for us to go to heaven. And you know, as I look at this thing, in the lessons we've been studying in this series, we've seen how Jesus performed a lot of miracles. We watched how he has performed all these different miracles. He did many signs, many wonders before the people. He did it in front of the leaders of the Jewish people. He tried to show them and help them to understand that he was indeed sent from God to be the Messiah and to bring salvation into the world. That's what he came for. Yet, you look at John chapter 12, and I want you to look at this with me this morning. John chapter 12, and verse number 37, we read these words. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. They made a choice, and they chose not to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And you know, when this all happened, Jesus came back and his focus changed. And his focus was no longer upon showing the people who he was through the miracles and the signs, but now his concern was for those disciples that he was going to leave behind to proclaim the message of the gospel. And he wanted to encourage them, and he wanted them to see and to understand the purpose for his coming. And folks, these guys didn't understand. They could not see. And you know, Jesus knew that his last days upon this earth were numbered from that point forward. And we looked at it. When he came in riding on that colt, that foal of an ass, the Bible said. He came into the city on that Sabbath day, that Saturday. And if you go back to the book of Exodus, when God had Moses tell the people to choose a lamb without blemish, without spot, not sick, nothing was wrong with it. And they were to keep it up for 4 days and to watch it to make sure there was nothing wrong. And then in the afternoon of that fourth day, they were to take it and to slay it. They were to kill it and shed its blood. And they were to apply that blood to the doorpost and the lintels of their house so that when God came through, and the Bible said when he passed over, he would pass over them. He would see the blood and he would pass over them. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus did on that Saturday. He came riding in. They kept him up for 4 days. They watched him for 4 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And on that Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine. They had to get him down off of that cross before, you know, their celebration, the Passover, began. So they had to have him down before it began at 6 o'clock that evening. And that would also fulfill the scriptures, where he would be in the heart of the earth, in the tomb, for 3 days and three nights. Think about it now. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then, as the Bible said, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. What day is that? Sunday. Today, some 2,000 plus years ago, they went to that tomb and it was empty. The angel had come and rolled that stone away, not so that he could get out, but so that the ladies could get in and they could see that he had risen as he said. Folks, it's all according to the scriptures. And you know what? They did not believe. They did not understand. The disciples didn't understand everything that was happening until after all of these things came to pass. And when it came to pass, then they understood. And man, what a story they had to tell. And what a story you and I have to tell today, that we serve a risen Savior. Amen. He lives within my heart today. That's why we sang that song. And I want you to see, Jesus knew that his days were numbered. And so what he wanted to do was to prepare those disciples so that they could tell the world what Jesus had done for them. And we see this fact all through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in John. And I want to share some of these verses with you before I get into the lesson today. I want you to turn first of all to Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20, verses 17, 18, and 19. And here we read these words. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he will rise again. Now, turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10. And in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 32, look at what the Bible said. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now go over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18, beginning in verse 31. And the Bible said, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be what?
Accomplished.
They shall be finished. They shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and he shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." And you know what? Amazingly, in Luke's account, after Jesus has tried over and over again to explain his ultimate purpose in coming to the earth, we read these sad words in verse number 34. Look at it. Where the Bible again says, "And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken." You see, Jesus knew that these disciples were going to be tossed about by the adversary. You know how the adversary fights you, right? You know how he tries to cause you to doubt the Word of God and to think that God really doesn't care. I'm here today to tell you, God does care. And you got to trust Him. You got to believe what His Word says. They didn't understand. So it was for this reason that Jesus now chose to focus on His disciples' understanding and them being able to trust Him. They didn't really understand all the things that lay before them. But Jesus knew what was coming. He knew and He understood, not only for them, but also for those who would eventually take the message of the gospel to all the world. And I want you to see something today. Can you imagine being one of those disciples? Can you imagine seeing all that they saw and not yet fully understanding why it was all happening? And can you imagine what must have been going through their minds at this point in time? "I thought He came to deliver us. I thought He came to do this and do that." And they're all confused about it. But you know what? I praise the Lord for this old book, for the Word of God. And the Bible talks about how that we have this record, this account, so that we can know what God's plan was and how He fulfilled it. And all of these things were accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that. So I want us to look at this lesson today. And I want us to look at it from the Word of God, because Jesus was trying to get them prepared for His departure. And there was a purpose in what He was doing. So with all that, I want you to look today at John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, I want you to see the demonstration of servanthood. The demonstration of servanthood. I want you to see here the situation in verses 1 through 4. Look at it with me today. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." There was never a time that He stopped loving them. And folks, I want you to think about this, man. When they scattered and they ran in fear, they saw what had happened to Jesus. They saw the anger, just the meanness of these people against their Savior. And they saw how that they were determined they were going to kill Him no matter what it took. They were going to put Him to death. And they feared for their own lives. When they turned away, and even denied him, as Peter said he would never do, but he did it anyway. He still loved them to the end. And I want you to think about that this morning. When you're down and you're out and you're thinking, man, Lord, I have let you down so much. And Lord, I've failed you. I've not done what I ought to do for you. He loves you to the end. Amen. Amen. To the end. And look what else the Bible said. And supper being ended, the devil, now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, first, I want you to see all the events leading up to where we are now in John's account of the gospel. I want you to see none of these things were a surprise to the Lord Jesus Christ. None of them. And John plainly writes here in verse number 1 how that Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Think about that. He knew. He knew. And yet he went on with God's plan. Now, when Jesus knew that his hour drew near to the time of his crucifixion and eventual departure from this earth, he kept on going. His concern was not only for his disciples, but his concern would eventually take those to the end of the world of hearing the gospel. These disciples were responsible for taking this message that we have written before us to all the ends of the earth. And without them doing what they would do, you and I today would not know what Christ had done for us. So Christ's concern was for those disciples and for those whom they would reach with the message of the gospel. He wanted them to know without a doubt that these things were true. And folks, listen to me today. I wasn't there when they crucified him. I wasn't there when they spit upon him and mocked him and railed upon him. But every time we stand up there and we're performing for this living cross, and I'm looking up there and I'm thinking, this is what they did to our Savior. For 6 hours, he hung upon that cross. 3 of those hours was in total darkness when God turned his back on his own son. He turned his back. Why? Because your sin and my sins had been laid upon him. And God couldn't bear to look upon him. Everything that happened, happened for a purpose. And what was that purpose? That you and I might come to know him as our own personal Savior. Man, I can't help but get excited about that. And I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. I'm thankful that God was willing to do that. And so the Bible says here, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then in verse number 2, we see that Satan had already entered into Judas Iscariot's heart. He had laid that plan to betray the Son of Man. So in verses 3 and 4 now, we see how that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. In other words, Jesus was in full control of the situation. Amen? He was in full control. And now, the great creator of the universe, the very sovereign and almighty God, was now about to become a servant who had laid down his life willingly so that you and I might be saved. He became the servant that would give his life for you and for me. Man, think about that today. The creator of the universe that spoke and said, let there be. And he came, took on a body so that he could suffer and bleed and die in your place and in mine so that we could know him as our Savior. The Bible reminds us of something here very important. I want you to make a note of this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. The Bible said that God the Father, he hath made him, Jesus, his son, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what God did for you. That's what God did for me. And now John would write and show his readers, as the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. And he said, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And later, Peter, the one that denied him three times, the one that, realizing what he had done, went out and wept bitterly and thought, oh, I'll just go back to catching fish. Jesus said, no, I've made you to be a fisher of men. That same Peter would later write in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This is what he would write. He said, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. Can you imagine Peter writing that? The just one for the unjust. And then he said that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That's what Jesus did for us. Now I want you to look at this. We see the servanthood, but now we see the symbol of the sovereign becoming servant in verses 5 through 11. In these verses, we see our sovereign Savior, our blessed Lord, becoming the servant of man. And in verse number 4, it symbolically shows us how that Jesus left all the splendor, all the glory. He took off his robe of glory and took on a robe of flesh that he might suffer and know the anguish of death. And he did it so that we could have eternal life. And the Bible said here in verses 4 and 5, John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, he riseth after supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. As Jesus now, the servant of man, now washes the feet of his disciples, Peter, out of love and out of respect, listen, he knew who Jesus was. He knew Jesus was the Son of God. He knew that. But he looks at Jesus, he said, you'll never wash my feet. Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Peter, I want you to understand, he wasn't doing this out of disrespect. He was doing this because he knew who Jesus was. Can you imagine the God of the universe bowing before you and washing your feet? Girding himself in just a towel and doing this for him? And again, Peter didn't do this out of rebellion. He didn't do it out of disrespect, but rather he makes a statement out of love and respect for the Christ that he knows who he is. But I want you to remember back in chapter number 6, when Jesus saw everybody else choosing not to follow him anymore, and Jesus looked at his disciples and he asked, he said, "Will ye also go away?" If you'll remember, it was Peter who stood there. When everybody else was silent, when nobody else would say another word, it was Peter who stepped out and he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter knew who this man was, Jesus. He knew that he was unworthy for the Lord God to stand before him, to bow and wash his feet, to do anything for him. But Jesus replied there in verse number 8. Look at what he said. He said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Meaning that if Peter was not willing to submit to the will of Christ and implicitly obey him and do what he said, then he had no evidence of true devotion or love for the Lord. He had none. And that's why we see in verse number 9, Peter's reply. And what does Peter do? He said, "Then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Peter wanted him to know that he was indeed willing to submit to him and to love him. And he wanted the Lord Jesus to know that he knew who he was. Now I want you to look at the significance of all this in verses 12 through 17. Look at this. Here in verses 12 through 14, we read these words. "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet." And what Jesus had done before these disciples was to show them how that they were to be humble servants to those that they preached to. They weren't to be filled with pride and arrogance and all this stuff like the Pharisees and the scribes, but they were to love one another even as Jesus had loved them and given himself for them. And he said here in verse number 15, he reminds them of something. He said, "For I have given you an example." An example. "That ye should do as I have done to you." You say, "Brother Ray, what does that mean?" That means that we're to go to anybody and everybody and love them as Christ loved us. We're to take the message of the gospel anywhere and everywhere that God allows us to take it. Why? Because that's what Christ did for us. He didn't want them to be jealous of one another. He didn't want them to be envious of one another, but rather he wanted them to love one another even as he had loved them. That means when they failed him, he still loved them. And folks, when we have folks that hurt us and don't do things right and they turn against God, we're to love them. We're to pray for them. We're to help them. We're to encourage them as the Savior did for us. We're to do it for them as well. And look at verses 16 and 17. Here we see that Jesus knew that they could not love in the same degree that he loved them, but they could still demonstrate that love of Christ in a serving and a sacrificial type manner. Not as a merit to gain favor from God. It wasn't to do something to get something from God. But it was demonstration of the factual reality of God's love for them. Look what he said. "The servant is not greater than his Lord. neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You're happy to serve the Lord. You know what? You'd have to demote me to be the president of the United States. Amen? Because, listen, I get to serve the King.
Amen.
The King. You're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. And you should be thankful for that fact.
That's right. Amen.
Now look at this. In verses 18 through 30, we see the disclosure. Jesus discloses the fact of his betrayal. And in verse 18, Jesus quotes from the Old Testament prophecy concerning himself and Judas Iscariot's betrayal. And this comes out of the book of Psalm, chapter 41, verse number 9. And this is what he said. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. David wrote those words hundreds and hundreds of years before it ever happened. And yet it was accomplished right here. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. Jesus knew the plan before it ever entered into Judas' heart, what he was going to do. And in verses 19 through 21 here, we see how that the thought of Judas' betrayal, it troubled the heart of Jesus. You know what? Jesus still loved Judas. He loved him. He loved those scribes, those Pharisees, those folks that mocked him and railed on him and accused him of things that were not so. But you know what? Sin brings forth anguish. And sin brings forth disappointment to the heart of God. And now in verses 22 through 26, I'm not going to take time to read all these, but we see Jesus revealing the fact that one among them would surely betray the Son of God into evil hands. And in verse 27, after Jesus gave the sop to Judas, Satan has entered into his heart, and Judas left the presence of Jesus, and he proceeded to betray the very one who had still cared for his soul. You know what? A person may die and go to hell, but they'll never go to hell unloved by God. They'll never go to hell unloved. And in verses 28 through 30, it shows us the next time in this sequence of events of what those naive disciples were thinking about when all this happened. I want you to look at it. We've got his disclosure, his discourse now about his departure, starting in verse number 31 and going down through John chapter 14. And Jesus gives his new commandment to these disciples. Look at what he said. As soon as Judas leaves the room, as soon as the betrayer is gone and departed to do his evil work, Jesus starts out by telling his disciples, verse 31, he said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. In all these things that happened, the Word of God, God himself was glorified in all these things that happened. And look in verses 31 and 32. Here we see the certainties of Jesus being glorified in his coming to the cross. He's glorified in going to the cross, folks. Think about that. It accomplishes God's plan of salvation. And what Jesus was going to do for mankind was the job for Christ and Christ alone. I love that song they sing, In Christ Alone. Man, I told my wife, I want that engraved on my tombstone. Okay, and I'm not talking about a pizza either, okay? I'm talking about if I died, I want that put on my tombstone. In Christ alone. I want folks to go by there and see. Man, he's not in heaven because of some good work that he did. He's there because of what Christ did for him. Amen? And look at this. Verse 34 and 35, the new commandments given to these disciples. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Man, how do you love one another? How do you do that? When you're looking all the time, you look at me and you see my faults and my failures. How is it that you love me? You do it as Christ loved you. Look what he said. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And you know what? We can only love one another through the love that Christ had for us. That's how I have to love one another. That's how I have to love my wife. That's how she has to love me, amen? In the love of Christ. She knows, listen, that God loved her. And she's got to love other bodies. Listen, when I was dating, before I started to date, I prayed for a Christian girlfriend. And I prayed for one that would love the Lord first of all. Because I knew that if she would love the Lord, then she'd love me. Okay? And I wanted to be the same way. I wanted to have somebody that I could love because of what Christ had done for me. And he gave that person to me to love. That's the way we've got to be today, folks. We got to do it through Christ. Now, we read in John, 1 John. I want you to look at something in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Beginning in verse 14. John would later write this epistle to the church of Ephesus. And he would tell them this. He said, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, why? Because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." If you go back to John chapter 14 now, or 13, verse 35, he said, by this, guys, disciples, listen to me. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. As Jesus had loved them, they were to love one another. They were to love everybody else. And folks, that's the way that you and I, that's the attitude that we're to have today in our service unto the Lord. In all that we do it because we love the Lord. And in John chapter 13, verse 36, he wrote here, he said, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Peter was boasting in his love for God. Jesus looked at him, verse 38, and he said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Man, can you imagine Peter's heart being shaken like that? Can you imagine how he felt when Jesus said that, knowing that all things that Jesus said were true? That he was going to deny the Lord. You know what? He knew that Jesus was going to tell the truth. He had been confronted with the words that sunk into his heart and made him just sink in fear. But it's that moment when we come to John chapter 14, that Jesus calmed that fear. And if you'll come back next week, I'll tell you how he does it, all right? Man, you got to be back next week. What a Savior. And he did it all because he loved you and me. Let's thank him for that today. Father, I love you. And Lord God, thank you, Lord, for doing for me what I could not do for myself. I pray, dear God, today that you'll help us to celebrate that fact today that we have a risen, living Savior that's alive and well today. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to never forget all that you've done for us. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts today and help us, Lord, to go out into this world and to love them to Jesus. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being in Sunday school today. We love you.